Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The so-called Johnson Amendment and the agenda to silence Christians. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, I often say that our pastors, or let's say many pastors, you know, will, one day will they stand before the Lord and say, you know, I protected our tax-exempt status. And how do you think the Lord will respond to that?
Not very kindly, I don't think, because you know, we are called to speak biblical truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Johnson Amendment came into being in 1954. It was added to the IRS code. Then Senator Johnson was running for United States Senate, and a nonprofit, not a church, opposed his candidacy. So to get back at them, after he became a U.S. Senator, he proposed this restriction on nonprofit organizations not engaging in political intervention, not supporting or opposing candidates for elective office. And that passed without any debate. It was not a church at issue, but it now has applied since 1954 to all 501c3 organizations, including churches. Even if churches don't have a 501c3 letter, they're treated as a 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization. However, that's the bad news, trying to restrict Christians and pastors. The good news is, from 1954 to the present, not one church, not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status for engaging in political intervention, for supporting or opposing a candidate, for talking about candidates' viewpoints, for encouraging people to vote, educating people about where the candidates stand on these different positions, or supporting or opposing local, state, or federal legislation. Not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status. So this is really blown out of proportion. And frankly, I'm really tired of people, particularly some pastors, that occasionally might think that, well, they can't engage in this kind of discussion because they might jeopardize the church's tax-exempt status. Nothing has ever jeopardized a church's tax-exempt status since 1954. So even if it did, you know, going to your point, they need to speak the truth, and
like,
if
who cares,
necessary, they need to challenge the unconstitutionality of this Johnson Amendment.
Right. Their, I mean, their role, obviously, is to proclaim the gospel, to bring more people into the kingdom, and empower and activate them to make a difference in the culture. We as the church have to be the light, and that's the problem with our society right now. It comes back to us as the church. We're not doing what we've been called to do. You know, Matt, it's like that whole phrase, separation of church and state. You hear that all the time as an excuse not to get involved in these issues. But granted, these aren't political issues. These are biblical issues.
Yeah, I remember when we first created Liberty Counsel and founded it back in 1989, that issue of separation of church and state, if you went to different churches and you asked people how many think that the phrase separation of church and state is in the Constitution,
right,
a majority of Christians would raise their hand thinking that it was in the Constitution.
Right.
The good news is that education over these many decades, now when you do that, very few people will ever raise their hand. Almost none.
And education is the key, just like with this Johnson Amendment. You have to know what this is about, you know, in order to know what the truth is, in order to activate and empower your people in the church.
So there are some pastors that mistakenly think that they can't talk about political issues, and they call them political. We'll talk about that because you are right. These are biblical issues,
right,
not political. Just because they're debated by politicians or they're subject of debate on laws or policy doesn't make them political. They're still biblical. But there are some pastors and church leaders that think, well, they can't do this. They're wrong. We have lots of information at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Click the churches tab or lc.org/churches, and we have lots of information here that dispels that myth.
Like, silence is not an option. That's a great resource that we want to get into the hands of every pastor, and I would say every church member as well.
And we have a little Patriot's Handbook. It's a pocket-sized book about pastors, churches, and political activity, what pastors and churches can do. But there are some pastors, however, that know this is a myth. They know that they're not going to jeopardize their church by addressing, quote, political issues. They know that. But they use this as an excuse for why they're not going to do so. And the reason why I know that is I served on a task force that Senator Charles Grassley in the United States Senate requested, and the ECFA created this task force, and there were three groups: attorneys, leaders of nonprofit organizations, and clergy. And I served on the attorneys section, and we all had the same issues. We were looking at IRS rules and laws respecting churches, one of which was this 1954 Johnson Amendment. Mm-hmm. So the attorneys panel that I was part of, we recommended a repeal of the Johnson Amendment. The clergy panel, there were some high-level clergy on that panel, and they liked the Johnson Amendment. Not all of them. Some of them wanted it repealed, but there was never a consensus from that clergy panel to repeal it. And the reason that was given is they like the Johnson Amendment there so that they can use that as an excuse to tell their parishioners why they're not going to talk about, quote, politics.
So are they going to use that as an excuse when they stand before the Lord one
day?
Well,
it goes back to your same point at the very beginning of our program here. So there are some that know that it's false, it's a myth, they're not going to jeopardize their church, but they use it as an excuse. I would say that, listen, if we're talking about voting, voting is not a political act, it's a prophetic witness. So you can't bifurcate how you believe on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And how you act on Monday and Tuesday.
There's not a separation there.
No. So if you believe that God is the author of life and he creates life, and Jeremiah, he formed you and called you in the womb, and Psalm 139, he intricately knit you together and he knows you intimately in the womb. Mm-hmm. That, for example, John the Baptist, he jumped for joy in the womb when he heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he jumped for joy when he heard the Messiah's voice. So we know that God is the author of life, mm-hmm. and we know that murder is wrong. That's what we would obviously believe and teach, say, for example, on Sunday. When we go to the ballot box on Tuesday, we can't appoint an agent that represents us and speaks and acts on our behalf,
right,
that actually does exactly the opposite.
Right.
We will be held accountable for that.
You know, let me just brag for a moment. A great example is Pastor Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills in California. I mean, he preaches this gospel. He encourages his people, get involved in the local political scene, whatever. They are making a huge difference in California because of that. He brings in speakers to talk about these issues. He prayed before Congress in Jesus' name. He got a lot of flack, but that doesn't stop him. He doesn't go in the corner and cower and say, oh, I can't talk about these issues. It empowers him even more. And you see California making a difference because of that.
You remember during COVID, he, along with other churches, were targeted for operation of worship service
right,
on Sunday,
right,
whereas abortion clinics were freely available to be open. And he defied that, and
right,
he opened up. And you remember that scene where there were so many people, hundreds and hundreds of people, being baptized in the ocean?
Yes.
Based upon one of his services that he had done. So he preaches the gospel.
And he lives the gospel.
And he lives the gospel. But the gospel also is transformative. It's the renewing of your mind, like Romans 12, mm-hmm. to renew your mind. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As your mind is renewed,
right,
then naturally the things around you are affected as well.
Right, and that's our calling. God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus transforms us so that we can transform society. We can be a light. We can make an impact for him and the kingdom in society.
Yeah, so as the thief stops stealing because that person has now been totally forgiven and transformed, those kinds of policies then have to permeate our society as well to protect other people's private property, to protect the sanctity of human life. So this is, as Dr. Jerry Falwell said many years ago, often These are not political issues. These are biblical issues.
Every answer to all of these issues is in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. And so it is important as we see who is in office, because they push forward abortion. They push forward the deconstruction of God's design for family and marriage and even human sexuality and so many other things. And we will be held responsible for that. So go to Liberty Counsel's website. Pastors and churches, replace the muzzle with a megaphone. You're free to speak the word of God and the truth. lc.org/churches, lc.org/churches.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.